Hey, hey, hey! Welcome back to the Nearly Nerds podcast. I'm sitting next to Lincoln and Sam.
Hey! And what is your name?
My name is YNS Nozart. I am a rapper, I'm a singer, songwriter, and an actor sometimes. And you can check out my Spotify, YNS Nozart. It'll probably be linked.
Yep, we'll link it.
We'll put the link
and follow my Instagram, YNS Nozart.
You'll get a total of like 11 new people with that.
some people from Great Britain, possibly.
That's really interesting that you guys have listeners over there. I have some listeners of my music in Portugal.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, we don't know this because we're creep spying. The website can show us who's listening in the world.
So. I know this because I stalk my fans.
Only for people who have their attraction on Sam for podcasts.
Sorry. I'm just going to scoot in just a little bit so that the mic can pick us all up. Quick session. There we go. So I'm going to stop apologizing for all of the delays. We used to post two episodes a week, but clearly that's not happening anymore. So I'm done apologizing for it. Sorry. I've said it too many times and clearly I'm not changing anything.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
In the eyes of the Lord, you can not apologize too many times.
Well, yeah, but there's whatever.
I've gotten multiple people tell me I apologize too
fine.
Much.
Fine, I'm sorry. We'll try to do better.
Noah, you've told
no,
me.
No, you won't. You won't try to do
that's
Noah,
why I didn't
Noah,
apologize.
You've told me I apologize.
Hey, can you not talk over Sam?
Have you never listened to this podcast?
I listened to the first two or three episodes.
Fair enough.
And then I remember that I don't like podcasts. I'm more of a music guy. But nonetheless, excited to be on here. And as egotistical I am, I will end up listening to this one. So,
Awesome. So with that, we're going to dive right in to today's topic, which is the reason that we brought YNS Nozart himself on our podcast. It is
about music genius.
Yep. It's about music, soundtracks from other movies and how they affect the storytelling. But before we begin, I figured Lincoln might have a nearly notice for us.
I do.
Some sort of science fiction comic book of some kind.
Sam,
you said you wanted to do it.
That was a long time ago. We haven't talked about the podcast in a long time. Okay, you're talking about Space Boy?
Yeah.
Well, we've been listening. We have been reading a comic off of Webtoons. I'm sure many of you guys know what Webtoons is. It's an app where you can like read a bunch of free comics that creators put out. But Space Boy, I don't know how to describe it without spoiling anything. Sam?
It's sort of like a comedy, sort of like a rom-com, but also like more pointed to the science fiction element of it. And it's super creative in the art style, really well thought out storyline. It's super small right now. Not a ton of people know about it, but everyone who does is like, my goodness, this is a really good comic. I would definitely recommend it to any of you listeners who are fans of science fiction.
The creator just ended his hiatus. What do you call it?
I don't know.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
I'll be checking it out later as well. Send me a link.
Sick. We will. All right. With that, we'll dive into the actual topic at hand. Music.
Yay! Okay. What music do you want to talk about, Sam?
Well, I figured we'd get into kind of the... Well, first of all, why do we think that music is important in storytelling? Like, what does it bring to the table?
Yeah. Well, I think there's lots of ways music can affect stories, you know? I'm someone who loves both music and movies and TV. So I think there's lots of examples of ways that music can be used to enhance a story. For example, take a movie like The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love The Incredibles, Sam. Lincoln, I'm assuming you probably do because it's a great movie. I love The Incredibles. I love The Incredibles soundtrack. Aside from the fact that the songs are just good, they add to the feeling of the movie that it's more of a spy movie than a superhero movie.
Mm.
Obviously they're superheroes, they're working on doing superhero stuff, But the soundtrack kind of reminds me of like a James Bond or like a Mission Impossible type thing, which isn't like really a spy movie, but it kind of is. So there's that. You can use music to kind of make you think of other things and then see movies in a different way. And that's kind of a silly example for that.
That works.
There's also like, obviously there's this thing of like, in a happy moment in a movie, you use a happy song. In a sad moment in a movie, you use a sad song. Up does that well. They use that theme, the and during when it's playing during the happier moment and it's upbeat and fun, you know, Disneyland type beat.
Yeah.
And then in the sad moments it's like actually just a really emotional sound.
Yeah, it slows it down, doesn't it? It's just the piano playing it and it's
yeah. And without changing the notes or the rhythms, just the tempo and the instrument, all it like it completely changes the emotion of it and changes like where you are in the story.
Sort of like Lord of the Rings, except they're every soundtrack Lord of the Rings is.
Alright, here we go. Here's my first controversial opinion that I'm going to say on this podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host and editor speaking. We regret to inform you that this section of the episode had to be removed for the sake of Notesart's reputation and protection from Tolkien purists. We apologize for this interruption and hope you enjoy the rest of your listen. Thank you.
Anyways, enough of that. sorry, just give me a sec to plug in the computer.
Yeah, so another thing, another soundtrack that I think is really great. I am assuming neither of you have seen this movie. If I do, or if you have, that's worrying. It's called Midsommar. It's a Dude, shut up. It's a like a thriller horror movie. It's, I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I really, really liked it, but I was kind of just getting into horror movies then. It's not like that great of a movie. It's worth watching though for any of you guys that like horror movies. It's pretty bloody gory.
It's not that great of a movie, but you should watch it.
Yeah, like it's not like gonna change your world or like it's not the scariest movie I've ever seen. It doesn't have a good story. It's like, but like there's good elements, and as a horror movie, you can get some good thrills out of it. So, but So basically, I won't get too deep into the story of it. Pretty much. Family goes on vacation in like Switzerland and gets indoctrinated into a weird cult, and then everyone dies at the end. Pretty much the story. Throughout it, they do this really interesting thing with the music where instead of how it was in like Up or in most movies where happy moments have happy music and sad moments have sad music, the tense moments have really calming music and the calmer moments when they're sitting around have really like suspenseful music that makes you think something bad's gonna happen. And when something bad is happening, they're like, it gives you this feeling of like, oh no, nothing bad's happening. This is all normal. This is all okay. Join us. And at the beginning, there's like a fire and there's firemen going through it or something like that. I kind of forgot. It's been a while since I've seen it. But during that time, they're playing this just weirdly upbeat music while they're crawling through a dark room searching for dead bodies, which kind of dark, I'm sorry, but that's what happens.
I get it. The music, I think what you're saying is that the music really in movies contributes to the setting and really makes the person watching just feel like they're being placed in that setting, and they're just looking around and they're experiencing it.
Yeah.
But it's more than just watching it and hearing people talk, but like really hearing the music too just makes them feel like they're in this moment. It can either keep them on their toes or get them crying or whatever. But movies like that, where the music doesn't match the mood at all, like it's complete opposite, that's when it starts to make you think you're going crazy. Because it's like,
you have all these different moods of sound, but all of them, because of where they're placed, have the same feeling of just being unsettling.
Yeah, and so because of what you're watching doesn't line up with the I kind of wonder, because you know it doesn't line up with what you're seeing, it suddenly makes you feel like if you're being placed in this setting, you feel like you're dissociating, because it's like, man, this beat is really great, but why the heck am I smiling or bouncing to not bobbing my head to this beat when people are like crawling through looking for dead bodies, you know, that sort of
thing. Exactly. So, like, normally, the music would give you clues of what's going to happen, but instead it throws you off and like keeps you kind of like a little bit worried.
If they set like a different mood in the music for a scene that doesn't, like Sam was saying, doesn't match the mood at all of the scene, wouldn't enough of that like change your perspective of the music, like the mood of the music, like that music will no longer remind you of something that's
Yeah, it can certainly give you that after a while. Like, I think that's why circus music is so eerie and unsettling to people, is because of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you associate clowns now with this little peppy carnival music, and then you think, oh gosh, this is freaky. This is, I don't like circuses. I want to get out.
Right. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. Which is, it's crazy that music has that power to like, there's something about it that just seeps into your mind and makes like you associate some one setting with another one, but when those are put together, it can like force this emotion onto you, like you know, hearing those sad the sad melody version of Up, and you hear music like that later on and you're like, oh man, this is super sad. Like, it's like probably why a lot of people associate minor songs in a minor key with
music theory time.
Yeah, you know, that's probably why, you know, because when you have songs that are in a minor key and that have those cool kind of minor chords, nowadays you think, oh, that's really cool, and start bouncing to it because you think, oh, this is sort of gospely or this is sort of jazzy. And it's like those jazzy environments are always so fun, right?
Yeah.
I've never been in like a jazz room or anything where, you know, professional jazz players are just going crazy, but like those rooms that you're watching, like, man, that looks so fun. And so nowadays we associate those with something super peppy and fun.
Right.
But before, people used to associate kind of the minor songs, and they still do, with like, you know, sadness, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably because before, people have been putting emotional, like putting songs in the key of like a minor key in a point of a movie or a sad song, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange. I don't associate like jazz with peppy or happiness.
Lots of different types of jazz.
Yeah,
you know? As an avid jazz head, someone who, I love jazz music. There's so many different kinds of jazz.
Like,
if you listen to bebop jazz, dude, you're not sitting still.
My favorite is very obscure, like, but called Over the Rhine. It's very, like, their jazz skills are, like, they're insanely talented musicians, but every time I listen to it, I never feel, like, happy. I don't know.
That could be because maybe are they adding some, what kind of element is it?
Like, a lot of blues, I feel like.
It's blue.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be sad.
Is it like coffee shop kind of jazz music?
Like,
that's a peaceful,
peaceful
jazz. It's like, oh man, this is nice. I could fall asleep to this, or I could have a delightful conversation. It's kind of like lo-fi.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of
thing. Yeah, to circle back to what you were saying, Sam, about like the minor and major chord thing, on like the opposite side of what you're saying, their major chords have always kind of been associated with happy sounds.
Even when,
you know, the earliest music that we really have like records of, like, you know, classical music, if they were doing happy music, they would use major keys. Like Ode to Joy by Beethoven, famous song, is
major.
Like, I don't think there's a single minor chord in that whole song.
So
it's like major's always been associated with happiness. And then, but like you sometimes see there's ways you can make it sound just like bleak and sad and like dismal. Like some things I think of, I don't know if you guys know the band Radiohead.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the one where it's like, I want a girl with a long short skirt and a long jacket. Another one.
I don't think you're thinking of Radiohead.
I'm thinking of Radiohead.
Are you sure about that?
Hold on that thought.
Now this
The skirt and the long jacket song is not rated.
Yeah, this is the episodic moment where Lincoln goes to look up something. Now while we keep talking,
here we go. Okay, anyways, they have a song called "Everywhere in Its Right" or "Everything in Its Right Place." I love that song. That song uses major chords for most, or use a major chord as a main thing. But all it does is just like transitions to this major chord from a chord that's in a different key.
Mm-hmm.
So by adding, like if you started out with one key and then switch to a key, but make it sound happy, kind of, it switches it around and makes you feel like off balance. And you're just like, whoa, what just happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, oh man. Okay. So you know how in worship songs, you'll have basically the four consistent chords throughout the song.
G, C.
Yeah, G, C.
Maybe a D minor. Maybe a D in there sometimes. Yeah, maybe
a D. I'm thinking like the four main ones. So that's like G, C, D, and E minor. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking cake.
That.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, that. That sort of same consistent theme, it makes it actually easier, you know, for the congregation to follow along. But right. Also, just crazy concept. Okay, inside joke. think about it. If it normally goes G, C, E minor, D, it's like G, the creation, C, human rebellion, but there's hope. E minor, Christ is crucified, and then D, Christ's resurrection. You know, major, still major,
mm-hmm.
but different. Now minor,
yeah,
something goes south, and now there's hope.
Mm. That's interesting. I've never even considered that.
Both?
Yeah, I mean every individual chord can kind of help just propel a story.
Yeah.
Even if it's something as simple as G, C, E minor, D, which is like the most basic chord progression. Besides G, 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 C, G, 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 C.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. There are hundreds of, especially worship songs, but there are hundreds of songs out there with that same exact chord progression. Yeah.
Especially nowadays, like, because we're at a point where music's been around for hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
at some point, there will not be any new melodies to create or new mm-hmm. chord progressions. You can do stuff that sounds like really interesting and really good, but it's pretty much impossible to make anything
until you get into microtones.
Okay, well, microtone doesn't really count because those aren't existing notes or chords.
Yeah.
But I want to comment on you saying it's been lasting for hundreds of years. Scientists have actually, like, I mean, it's not like proven or anything, but they think it came from when cavemen, like, they use rocks to, like, build things.
Oh yeah, well, music's been around since biblical times. I mean,
but you mean
they
like,
had
you
they
mean
had
like bands
the lyre.
And...
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just recorded or like you know, written down. Music.
Like piano came not until like the 1600s, 1700s, right?
Harpsichord was first, and then the clav, and then piano. I don't know exactly when they came.
Huh.
I'm not really super tapped in with like the classical music and like origins of music. Mm-hmm. All I know is Soulja Boy invented music in 2007.
Bro, half of what I listened to when I was younger was classical music.
All the other music before that didn't exist.
Right.
For school,
Soulja Boy started the book. Playboi Carti finished it. Everyone else hasn't even read it yet.
What book?
Music.
Oh.
Anyways, to move on, I want to step away from movies for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're the hosts.
Well, not really
Noah.
Step. Okay, I'm the guest.
Let
so,
him cook.
Get ready.
Cook.
That's what I said.
I want to step away from just talking about movie soundtracks. I want to say, like, let's bring in TV shows,
mm-hmm.
musical theater,
okay.
movies, everything. I want to hear you guys like top five best soundtracks ever for anything.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
Okay, yeah, right now on the spot with no preparation, I want to
hear. Lord of the Rings, number 3.
I was said, can you just go like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it in a normal way, please? Like an
Star Wars, number 5.
Okay.
Toy Story, number 4.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings, number 3.
Okay.
You're putting us on the spot.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Zelda, number 4.
Yeah, video games. I'll allow it. I'll let it slide.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mario Kart.
Nice. I like it. Number Sam?
Oof. Do you have one in mind?
Do I have my list?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioning video games made me change my list up a bit because I wasn't thinking of video games. Number 5, I would say Whiplash. One of my favorite movies ever. Also, not kid friendly. If you're like under the age of 16, you shouldn't watch it. And if you.
When did you watch this?
Don't worry about it. Anyway, it's a movie about jazz. Definitely listen to the soundtrack. Soundtrack has some phenomenal jazz pieces on it. A lot of it is pretty hectic, crazy stuff. So I love Whiplash. It would be at 1, but I'm not always in the mood to listen to crazy bebop jazz.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
My number 4. I'm kind of gonna go into depth on these.
Okay. Yeah. Totally do it.
My number.
Gotta mention Sophia the First.
Don't spoil it. That's on there. That's on there. Number 4 is, I guess I've changed it because Lincoln mentioned video games. Number 4 is Fallout, just the Fallout games in general. The soundtrack in the games is just, basically 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s music.
I also recommend kids not playing Fallout, under the age of 20.
Yeah, not 20. We have different opinions on that, whatever. But it's basically just old music, you know, stuff like, I don't really have any examples.
Like a hymns kind
of? No, not hymns. It's 50s and 60s, kind of pop rock stuff.
That's
cool. Think Shaboom.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like Shaboom type songs, basically.
That's cool.
That's the soundtrack because that game is set in a world that's in the 2077, I think is the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the world looks and seems like the 50s. So there's world wars, there's communist issues,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just got this really 50s vibe. I think that's great. But then also just the composed themes for it, the main title theme, especially Fallout 4, is one of the coolest pieces of music I've ever heard in my life. I love it so much. Yeah, so number 3, my pick, this is kind of a funny one, Sophia, the First Season 1 soundtrack. If you know what that is, then I'm sure you're probably did he really just say that, dude? If you don't know, really? Sophia the First was... really, man? Sophia the First was in the 2010s, early 2010s, was a show on Disney Junior about a girl. It was kind of a Cinderella type story, a girl who's mom married a king and she became a princess when she was poor before. And I haven't watched a lot of the show, to be honest. I watched it when I was a kid because it was
on. So your picks
on.
Are either Sophia the First or Fallout.
This is just bottom 3 of the top 5. You gotta let me finish.
Just extreme.
The songs on it, though, do not sound like kid show songs. There's a song called Rise and Shine, which has actually become my personal anthem lately. I've been listening to it so much. I made a remix of it that if you follow my Instagram, you would see that I cannot release because it has
Instagram yet.
No, I do have Instagram. I made a remix of the song Rise and Shine that I couldn't release because of copyright issues, which I'm a little mad about because it's kind of a perfect song. But that song, I listen to it every morning when I wake up and it makes my days better. It's genuinely an amazing song. There's another song on it called Blue Ribbon Bunny,
yes.
Which is a rap song. It's a party rap song by a bunny talking about how he's just a really cool bunny, and it's so hard.
It really is.
It's unbelievable, dude. It's insane.
I'm not kidding. It genuinely is that good.
So there's a couple songs on the soundtrack that are kind of skips, but I genuinely recommend if you are if you're hey man, I'm kind of sad, I need some positivity music, put on the Sophia the First album. It's half an hour long. Sit through it, listen to it. It's so good.
I fell asleep listening to it the other day.
That doesn't really make sense because it's all kind of happy music, but okay. My number two pick, Interstellar. We have a kind of an ongoing joke, me and Sam, about that movie. So it kind of seems to him like I'm doing a bit here.
Yeah.
But genuinely, the music is just so good. That's kind of all I have to say about that one.
Yeah.
Thank
you for listening to the new interview.
Like, okay.
Do we have to wrap up?
No, we got time.
I can be late to choir. That's fine. cut that out. I'm just kidding. Number two. I forgot what it was. Low key. Sam, I want to hear your five while I try to remember what my two and one were.
Okay. So, this is kind of, you know, scrambled together. So maybe if we do another episode with Declan on here, we can
go more in depth into it.
Yeah,
and I'm not involved.
I think number five, you said musicals, so...
Oh, yeah.
Right. What I'm... one of them that I've been into lately is... I might get bullied for this. It's the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack.
Ooh.
Okay, good.
Dear Evan Hansen is so good.
Yeah. I've never actually seen the movie or the play. It's pretty depressing.
Very, very sad story.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention Epic.
I didn't count that one because it's kind of... It's released songs. It's not technically...
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if you are about to say that Odyssey thing, I'm mad.
No, but Dear Evan Hansen, just... I love the... It's got that... You know, the instruments are kind of basic. It's like guitar, piano, and then the drum kit, you know. But it's like... It just gives that awesome feeling. Like, mm-hmm. Also, all the singers are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a super well-done musical. It's one of those that's, like... it's one of those... a couple of those songs that, like, make you feel like you're being placed into the setting, you know?
For sure.
While at the same time, you can laugh and just love these songs because of how amazing they are.
Or you can get together with your theater nerd friends and mm-hmm. throw the songs on and sing them.
True. That's true. It's another one of those. Number four, oof. Let's see.
High School
Shrek
Musical.
Shrek 2.
High School Musical. No. Not.
No.
Amazing Race. Literally, there's not one part of Amazing Race that doesn't have music playing.
Yeah, it's a reality television show.
Dude. Dude. The Amazing Race, bro.
Oh, man. It's something else.
It's so over.
Oh, gosh. Oof. I don't know exactly. I'm going to say, honestly, the first...
Sophia the First?
No. Oof.
Sophia the Second?
No. One. A Quiet Place? I mean... The music wasn't like incredible. Like, there wasn't a ton of music in there, obviously, but when it was, you knew it was intense. Like, honestly, I'm putting it in there. I don't remember if the soundtrack is actually that great, but it's like just the effects that it had on people, because the whole movie's silent and one little bit of sound and everybody just jumps because mm-hmm. It doesn't use much music, but it puts you in the setting, and so when music does play, you're actually covering your mouth because you don't want to make noise. Because it's so purely for the effect, like the way that that movie was set up and the effects that the music had there. That's why it's up there.
Yeah, because this is like this podcast is centered around movies. Real quick, I would like to say the use of sound in Quiet Place in general is phenomenal. It's mm-hmm. so good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like so,
mm-hmm.
like just drawn back. There's like I think what like 10 minutes of dialogue in the whole movie.
Yeah,
yeah, it's insane.
And I mean, I think that's in my top five actually favorite movies. I did list it on the podcast.
For movies, it's
one of my top fives. I think one of my top five.
I only listened to half of the second movie.
How do you listen to it?
You listen to movies?
And you're just
do you like what movie should I listen to today? When you throw it on, you sit there with like your eyes closed.
I couldn't sleep, so I just
So you put on a Quiet Place? You couldn't sleep, so you put on a Quiet Place, bro?
I could fall asleep to anything.
His goal at that point is to stay awake, I guess. and never go to sleep again.
So
no,
funny.
No. So my number four, or three, probably Lord of the Rings as well.
Sam, you copycatter, like.
Fine. An Avengers movie. Or
fine.
Whatever. just because of it, the epicness of
yeah,
those.
For sure.
Number two. What is it?
Why are
that? Oh, I had it. Oh, Jurassic Park.
Ooh, good pick.
It's just, dude, when in that moment when he step when they're like talking about the park and they're like, so what's the big thing about this park? And the car stops and they look forward, eyes wide, get out of the car, shut the door, the screen just pans, and you see a massive brontosaurus standing there, and you hear doo 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 da 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 da. It just,
yeah.
Dude, it just sent shivers
awesome.
Down my spine. It, just a truly an epic soundtrack. My first one, and I might change this when we do another episode, but it's one of the first two, the soundtrack to one of the first two, I don't know, pick one, How to Train Your Dragon movies. Specifically for, I think for the first one, for
they
Test Drive.
Quite, yeah, I like those because they don't quite have that. They have kind of that in between. It's not really super, it's like a peaceful feeling in your, with this, like a peaceful kind of music. It's not too peaceful, but it's like definitely leaning
yeah.
towards peaceful, but this guy is like dangerously, like flying this dragon that's barely tame.
Yeah. It's certain, like, I think that the music just mirrors the setting, I think, flawlessly. Like, in Test Drive, when Hiccup is flying Toothless, like, in the sky for, the first time, and they're going back and forth. Other thing I love real quick, how, when in some movies, each character has their own little riff or melody, and so you hear Hiccup's, and I think it's, like, Hiccup says, doo, 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 doo.
I do recognize that.
Rocky.
And
Rocky.
Then whatever. And then Toothless is like do 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 and you know, you have those going back and forth as they're struggling. Yeah, as they're struggling for control. And then when they fall off, there's this weird dissonance in the song. And it's just it's like they're dangerous and they're circling around one another trying to grab and then as they grab on, as Hiccup grabs on, he like, you know, adjusts the tail, and suddenly it's their themes like combined, and it, like, you should listen to it. Think about that.
I've never really focused on the music watching that movie because usually I just watch that movie for like some light entertainment.
That is pretty.
Yeah, fair enough.
Great movie though. Love it. I love How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I recommend going back and listening to that soundtrack because not only does it have that, you know, incorporated in its setting, but like. Just also the Viking
is this
kind
of
theme
like
to
one
it.
One of them's a melody, or one of them's one of them's a harmony.
What? No, I'm
for
just
where the theme, their two themes come together.
Well, no, it's sort of not even necessarily harmonizing with one another. I mean, it can, but it's just kind of like you've got those same melodies just dancing around each other.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily they're not necessarily harmonizing. It's just you know, they're two melodies just coming together. So yeah, that's my five.
I like how it's all instrumental too. There's not like any like cheesy, like songs in the background. Like I don't know.
I mean, that's a good list.
Yeah.
So I thought about my top ones, and I had a lot of things cross my mind. So my number two, the musical Chicago. Super underrated music, I think. John C. Reilly is an incredible performer. There's a song around there called Mr. Cellophane that is so fire. It's like a ragtime jazz sad song that's about having this guy after his lady cheated on him. And it's like you just really feel his emotion. But like the whole thing's great. Cell Block Tango is classic.
I sang Razzle Dazzle for a
Razzle Dazzle is awesome, yeah. I'm singing Mr. Cellophane for an upcoming performance.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that's a great one. Some honorable mentions. That I'm not gonna go into too much detail
right.
on. Both of the Spider-Verse movies, the first one is just like, I mean, first off, I love rap music. I primarily make rap music, and that's mostly what I listen to. Whenever a movie has a rap soundtrack, I'm like, this is awesome. Then you'll see that again with my number one, which mm-hmm. I think you'll find kind of funny. But yeah, so both the Spider-Man movies. Second one is made by Metro Boomin, one of my favorite producers ever. Great. Those are both great. The Barbie movie. Hear me out. They're all, every song is a banger. They're like, it's kind of like a little embarrassing.
So you like prom music, like songs that are played at prom?
No, no. The Barbie soundtrack has a lot of bangers on it. So yeah.
Which are all played at dances.
Okay, whatever, buddy. My school doesn't let us have dances, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah, yeah. Dress up. Yes. Other honorable mention I had was Oppenheimer, to go with Barbie, I guess.
Just lots of great stuff. You have a weird obsession with Oppenheimer.
No, I don't.
Declan told me you have a weird obsession.
No, that's... Yeah. Bleep out his name.
Okay.
yeah, and then... So, I guess I don't have any more honorable... Oh, I do have another honorable mention. Coco. The music in the movie Coco. First off, Coco,
okay.
My favorite.
They match my favorite Disney movie. Fingering, like,
yeah. Well, not even. I don't really care about all that. The songs. Since they're in another language, I don't really understand them that much. Like I speak a bit of Spanish. I know some Spanish, so I can like pick up kind of generally what they're about. But like to me, the songs don't even like pertain to the movie. I like when I'm listening to them, I don't even think of like the movie Coco. I just think La Familia is on. This song's a banger. Shout out to my family.
Shout out to my family.
Yeah, and Un Poco Loco, also a classic. I listen to that song all the time. Dude. And then my number one pick is Space Jam 2. Space Jam A New Legacy. Another rap soundtrack movie. Movie was dog garbage. It was terrible. Did not like the movie at all. But the soundtrack was also another rap one. It has Lil Wayne on it. It has a guy named Cordae on it. I don't think you guys are going to know any of these people. It has a little baby. Kirk Franklin, who is a gospel director.
Mm.
He directs like gospel choirs.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a huge Christian artist. And he appears on it and has a great song. The Jonas Brothers are on it.
Ooh.
Tons of people stacked on this album, and wow. Each song is awesome, and it's super cool. And that one's at my number one because it's the one that I listen to the most casually. It's all just like the type of songs I normally am listening to.
Oh, that's fair.
So yeah, there's mine.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I have some things to reconsider for my list.
Yeah.
Especially after Coco, man.
Man, it's just so good, dude.
Dude, oh man. Well, we talked about soundtracks and, you know, how music affects us all.
Okay, that's on my top five.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb's good.
Okay, Phineas and Ferb must be mentioned at least, if for nothing else, because of how many songs they wrote.
Dude, they wrote an absurd amount of music for that show.
Every episode, there
has like three songs. It's crazy. And they're all bangers.
Yeah.
All of them, I'm like, hearing and I'm like, yes, turn this up.
Yeah, I'm sure they are AI-generated, like...
AI wasn't invented.
They have to have, like, a squadron of people working on that.
Yeah. No, dude, I think there was a whole group. There was, like, a whole group of them that were specifically assigned to write songs about this sort of thing. They wrote, like, 300 songs.
Yeah. And all of them are awesome, dude. Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Well. Look up Blade.
There's a Platypus Control.
Phineas and Ferb. That's a Platypus Control. Phineas and Ferb soundtrack album. It's, like, it says 15 hours.
Oh, longer than that. I would definitely be surprised, dude.
I'm so excited for the new seasons.
I forgot about
them. Oh, I forgot about that. They're coming 2025. They're already out on the Disney Channel.
They are?
I think. What? On the Disney Channel.
Is that real? Is that real?
Not the Disney. Not like the.
Not Disney Plus?
No, not Disney Plus, but.
Yeah, that's
insane. They always play on Disney Channel before Disney Plus.
No, I feel like I would have seen commercials at this point for
really?
It.
Really?
I don't watch a lot of live TV. I usually stream shows, so I don't know.
Because Disney Channel's like live.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't really see any commercials. I just be watching like Netflix and like pirating movies. I'm kidding.
Hey, you could say that on here. Declan confessed that he pirated the Mario movie, so.
That's awesome. I pirated the Barbie movie. And Oppenheimer, the day they both came out.
Why am I not at all surprised?
You.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay.
Okay, buddy.
Well, we should wrap this up, I think, because we all got somewhere to be.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm late to choir.
No, you're not. It doesn't start until 5, right? New
4:30. Oh, yeah, it did change. That's right.
We'll put a link in the description. Link in. Get it?
Yeah, we'll put a link to my Spotify
and
my Instagram.
Yep.
And I'm on all other streaming services, too. So if you use Apple Music, Pandora, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Snapchat, I guess.
NPR.
Apparently my music's on Snapchat.
Yeah,
I'm on everything. So...
Like, you can't turn on the radio without listening to
also, if you could, if everybody could do us a favor, and if anyone has Instagram, you should go to the Nearly Nerds Instagram and just start spamming on it to get Declan to wake up and do his job and run the Instagram.
He can't remember the password.
Declan doesn't have Instagram anymore.
He doesn't remember the password.
No, he deleted it and forgot the password, probably.
Yeah, so I can just reset the password if you want.
Oh.
I do so.